Welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. I am Tara Walker. I'm a technical evangelist with Microsoft. And today we're going to explore the Twitter API and how you can get to those great tweets that you want to write about in your apps. So with that, so in working with the Twitter API, we created this great series called API Mash. And API Mash are a bunch of starter kits just for you to get to data in the various APIs that are out there in the wild. This consists of all kind of great things. Twitter, which is what we're talking about today, Meetup, Facebook, TomToms. There are several APIs and great data out there that you can get to. And so with the API Mash starter kits, we actually have a little sequence that we go through. These starter kits are actually in C# as well as HTML5 and JavaScript. Today, the one I'm going to talk about is in C#. So what I want to start with is showing you the sequence of how we built these starter kits. The first thing you're going to start with is your client app. So your UI, your client app, will have certain features of it if it is an API mesh starter kit. And these are consistent across the starter kits for C#. What we do is first we invoke that API. The one I'm talking about again today is Twitter, so I'm going to invoke the Twitter API. When I do that, I'm going to do that asynchronously, and I'm going to have that API to return a JSON payload to me. Once I receive that payload, I'm going to deserialize the JSON to my data model. And the data model that we'll be talking about today, and I'll show you, is tweet, the trends, as well as the user. So that'll be something for our base API to return to us that I can deserialize into that model. So once I have that, I want to bind that to my view model. And so once this is bound to my view model, I can then have my view model to be bound to my UI. And that's where you'll see your data return and having a clean MVVM model. So most of the starter kits follow this type of sequence, no matter what pattern is being leveraged. So let's talk about the architecture as well as some of the nomenclature that we use. First off, we use a boilerplate Windows 8 app type of boilerplate. So you'll notice in Visual Studio, they give you a lot of ones. You get the blank, you get the split view, you get a various number of templates. For the Twitter API, I started with a blank template. But again, it's just a boilerplate XAML file that we started up from Visual Studio. This is consistent, again, across the API Mash starter kits. What ties to that boilerplate is the libraries that we built per the API that we wanted to access. For me, it is the Twitter API. And so the nomenclature of that is, if you see on the slide in front of you, you'll see B and C in the box called starter kit. Those are going to be the APIs that were created to access the Twitter API. So the API mash lib will have web calls that will do authentication. It will map to models and do some of the plumbing that's associated with this library. The API mash underscore Twitter lib will access directly to the Twitter API and get that JSON back. And so you'll find that the architecture will follow this type of pattern. So let's talk about specifically the Twitter API in which the starter kit was leveraged. The first thing you will need, if you would like to get to the APIs that are available in Twitter, is a developer key. To locate or to access a developer key that you will need for your kit, if you're leveraging this one, is on dev.twitter.com. The two keys that are necessary to form this Twitter developer key is, one, a consumer key, and the second, a consumer secret. Both are needed and necessary to be able to access any Twitter APIs and start the authentication process. Now, let's talk about quickly the authentication process with Twitter. It is a very strict OAuth process. And so you must follow this process prior to getting any data back from Twitter. The first step in this OAuth process is to take that consumer key and that consumer secret and obtain a request token, and that's a call you make to the Twitter API. After you receive that request token that's returned, then you have to authorize you as the user against that request token. Once that is completed, you will then get an access token and an access secret. And that is what you would leverage to then call the rest of the Twitter API that'll give you some of the great data like tweets back that you desire. So Twitter, this is now version 1.1. Version 1.0, which is what was used prior to this that did not require authentication, has been deprecated. So you can't use that one anymore. So this is a great tool to use as far as a starter kit to get some of the OAuth work done for you without having to do it yourself. All of the Twitter API calls in version 1.1 are REST API calls. So you can return data, JSON, XML, or the like. As I noted earlier in our architecture, we are returning JSON. So that being the case, if you want to leverage this starter kit, you will get JSON back as a data payload. Please note again, this is based on C# and XAML and not HTML5 and JavaScript. You would do things a little bit differently if you are using the HTML5 and JavaScript. However, the base calls and the methodology is pretty much the same. The model that was used in regards to building this starter kit with the Twitter API was the MVVM model. And for those of you that are not aware of what MVVM means, it is model, view, view model. Very similar to MVC, which is model, view, controller. In the model, view, view model, the model obviously is your data. And what I provide in the Twitter starter kit are the following data objects. You have the user, so the user who is tweeting. In this case, it could be you or it could be someone else. You also have the tweet, and so the tweet consists of various data around the tweet, who tweeted it, the name, the time, and what the tweet actually is, amongst other things. And then the trends. You know, Twitter is big on the hashtags and what is trending. You actually can get what's trending as well. The next thing you should note is that there is a view model, and this is the plumbing between the model and the UI. And in my view model, I have Twitter API function calls tied to those data objects that can now get the information, fill the data objects, and negotiate where things should go with the UI. And how does it do that? I decided to implement in my MVVM model what we call a commanding model. And I'm using a command relay object that is inherited from iCommand. Let me stop there and explain that just briefly. When you use a commanding object, it means that I am using a command that will get tied to an event. So instead of using an event handler or using in your code behind, hey, this event gets fired and I want you to run this code, it says when this event fires, I want you actually to execute a command. The great thing about doing this is it keeps all of your code out of the UI, so your UI is truly what it's designed to be, the user experience, and within the view model, which is doing most of the negotiation between the model and the UI. This allows for me to take the Twitter library that we created with API Mesh and tie this into Windows Phone 8 without changing a lot of things other than the UI. And so this is great, again, if you're doing cross-platform development and like, the MVVM model is invaluable. The final part of this is the UI. And again, as I noted before, this is a commanding binding model, so you'll find that the calls, like the button, are bound to a command. So there's no event handler like click that you will see in there. You'll see that click will be bound to a command. So that's a little different than some of the samples you've seen before. So with that, let's get into the demo. Enough talking. Now that we're in the code, which I know is where you guys want it to be, the first thing I want you to notice is that here is our home page for our Twitter API starter kit. And simply just has a title, Tweet Me, and that's actually coming from the app XAML. So again, you can have your pages be consistent with that title. And then you see there is an app bar there, and this is where most of the magic happens. As I noted, each one of these buttons that are in the app bar are not tied to an event. They're actually tied to a command. What you don't see from this UI that you will see when we run is that I have a grid view that is here. And based upon the grid view that is a part of the XAML, it will then build based upon what you choose. So if you want to see trends, you'll see a grid view build that shows you the trends. If you want to see the Twitter users, you will see things show up about Twitter users. If you want to see the followers that you have or followers someone else has, again, hence tying to the user data model, the grid view will change appropriately. And so that's the base of this UI. Let's look at the XAML. So if you look at the XAML, the first thing let's look at is the app bar. It is a bottom app bar, and it is full of nothing but buttons. What is interesting about these buttons, you'll notice, again, there is no click event. So how are we firing this? Again, as I noted, we're not using an event-driven model. We're using a command-driven model. And based upon having a commanding-driven model, you'll see there that there is a command, and I am tying to that command of get user tweets by user. And so that is the command that I created in the view model to create this. That is consistent across the other buttons as well. So for the search, you'll see the command is bound to something that's called get tweets by search. And when I show you the code of my view model, there will be a command that is absolutely get tweets by search and the like. And so again, this makes this very clean because there is no code necessary in our UI. And just to prove that, let's look at the code behind. So this is the code behind of that home page of the UI I just showed you with the XAML. You'll notice that there are only, in this entire code behind, there is only approximately 5 lines of code. The first line just instantiates my view model, the tweet view model I talked about. The second one denotes what authentication type is going to be used here. There are 2 types you can use. There's app auth and OAuth. We're going to talk more about OAuth. And then I tie the consumer key and the consumer secret that you will obtain from dev.twitter.com. You get that from the app resources into my view model. So it knows where to start from if this is your first time. And then I set the data context to my view model. And so it can bind as appropriately when things are returned. That is, as I noted, all that is in the UI. This is all the code. And so it truly separates our UI from our data, which is what we really want if we want to make an app like this cross-platform or go across multiple things. So just to reiterate, having a UI that has very little code behind and very little event-driven code allows me to take this library then and create an app that uses a consistent library across platforms, whether it be Windows 8 or Windows Phone 8. And you'll be able to see this when you go to the API Mash Libraries in GitHub. This same project will be used, or the same library rather, will be used for Windows 8 and Windows Phone. So let's go and actually look at that library. So you see here the Twitter API Mash Twitter library. Let's go to that and let's look first at the view model. And so if we go to the top of this view model, you'll see that again, obviously I have my private variables, but the public variables here are taking in that consumer key and that consumer secret. As you saw, that was being passed in from the UI. Obviously we need that. What you will also see is now, let's talk about some of these commands. So I'm going to open this public command region up. And as I noted to you, per the binding, there is a command, get user tweets by user. This is where the button is actually calling into, because I've tied it to my command in my view model. It's bound there. This is actually what gets called when that button gets clicked. And again, as you notice, there are no click events. This is actually what gets called. And so in using a command view and a command relay, it does exactly what the name denotes. It takes that command, get user tweets by user that you see there, and it actually relays it to the actual method that should be called. And here, the actual method that's going to be called is get user tweets. And what's going to be passed in is an authentication type. Now remember, we got the authentication type when we tied in the view model. I'll just go to the definition of this, and you'll see the first thing that it does is verify that the user is authenticated. If it is not, then it goes and then authenticates the user, and then it starts to look for what's the appropriate grid view to leverage. So all of the functionality within the Twitter API application that you see here leverages commands. And so whether it be that I'm returning users or trends or tweets, the same model exists. I am calling command. I'm relaying that command to a private method. That method then is going to go out and then call out to the Twitter API. Again, that's consistent. So let's look at the model then. So if you look at the model, scroll up for you, you'll see that there are the three classes that I noted that I was actually desiring to get data back from and to track. There is the tweet, and I'll just open up this one so you see the public fields here. You'll see that I'm getting the tweet user, the image, the tweet text, screen name, create date, the user ID, some statuses, etc. So this is the class and the data that's getting returned back from Twitter. So that's from the tweet perspective. From the user perspective, I'm getting data about whoever is tweeting. So you'll see here there is a Twitter ID that's associated with each tweet that comes across that you see. Just like I am Tara W, that is my screen name, I actually have a numerical user ID that Twitter tracks for me as well. So I want to get that because that's valuable when I want to do things like get your followers. There's a username, there's a user description, a create date. Are your tweets protected or not? And that's very important because everyone can't see someone's tweets that are protected. My profile image, how many followers do I have, and just some basic things about me as a user. So that is the user class. All right, so let's take a final look at the trend then. So in the trend class, what I am tracking here is what events are associated with trends. So obviously you can have an event like 4th of July came out. And so there was a trending thing about 4th of July that was tied to various events. You can get that back. And that can be a collection of events or just a string name of events or the like. There is an actual trend name, and as of what date, because trends change per date, and so you might want to have the trends for the week, and you want to sort those based upon the date. You have the ability to do so with this. Is this promoted? Does someone want to promote this trend up? And that can be actually done as well. You can get a trend query where you actually, as a developer, can take this query string that comes back and actually sends it back to the Twitter API to get tweets based upon the trend. So the trend query that's returned in the trend class is really neat because you can actually take this string noted as trend query and get the tweets back that are associated with whatever is trending. So this is a really neat thing. It actually comes back when you sort trends. So again, it's something that I wanted to have for you as a developer to use as you build your own Twitter apps. You have a trend location, so for those people who are associating location with their trends. So if you wanted, let's say I wanted all the trends in Seattle or all the trends in Atlanta, you could absolutely do that and sort as appropriate. So that's our data model. The last thing I'll talk about in regards to the class is the authentication. So this is where either the pain or the magic happened, depending on how you feel about OAuth authentication. So again, there are two types of authentication that Twitter supports, and this is why there is a separate Twitter OAuth library that is actually there. I want to make sure that I'm tying into one or the other, the app auth, which again, Twitter leverages, or the OAuth, which is Twitter leverages. So you can choose one or the other. In this example, and what we will be showing is the OAuth library. And so that is the primary authentication method that will be used in this demo and in the starter kit. But the plumbing is all there for app authentication. So you as a developer can absolutely decide that's the authentication method you would like. The final thing that I want to really make sure you understand is there are some constants associated specifically with Twitter and authenticating to Twitter. And so you'll find that in doing the process of OAuth, you have to get that request token, you have to authorize it, you have to do an access token. And so that's what you see here. These are constant strings. These are static. They should not be changed. And so you'll see these are in a public strut that you can use as you enhance this if you so desire. But just wanted to make sure you're aware of those pretty much are static. These are the calls that are required to authenticate to Twitter. All right, so with that, let's run this and see how this goes. All right, as you saw before, here's the UI, very simple UI. And when I bring up the app bar, that's where most of the magic happens. Now, I purposefully have not authenticated as yet to show you what the process is for the user the very first time that they log in. This won't be replicated again because once they authenticate with this application, it saves that information down and they don't have to do it again. So let's do it the first time for you. I'm just going to go to my tweet home. Well, the first thing it's going to know is, hey, I'm not verified or I'm not authorized yet as an authenticated user. So it's going to ask that. This is where I actually authorize Twitter to do this for me. And this is required of all applications of Twitter. So I'm going to do this. I've created a little user that I can use. I put in the password for it. Now, here's something to note. This password is not saved anywhere, and that's included in the application. It does not even return the password back. So once you log this in, Twitter will actually process this and do the tokens back, but there is nowhere where this is stored. I just simply now click authorize app. All right. And then it immediately, because I said go to my homepage, gives me all the tweets that are associated with me as the sample username I used to authorize this app to use it. So you'll see that there is the Win8 Tweet API. And I'm just tweeting some things or retweets, and you'll see how this goes. So this is actual tweets that are coming back from the Twitter API. So let's say myself. Really do me for real. I don't think I've tweeted anything badly today. So let's try me. So I am going to put in the search criteria. I can either put in a user, which I'm putting in my screen name, or you can put in search criteria. Again, there is a search button there. But I just want this to get tweets by user, which will be me this time. So I'll click that tweets by user button, and you'll see that there I am. I come up. And these are actually my tweets that I have done today. So one more feature I want to show you, obviously I can do it by subject, and I'll just do that really quickly so you can see. So let's do Windows 8 and tweet topic search. And it will think, and you'll see that these are all the tweets that are associated with Windows 8. And so you'll see across the board, they can come from various users across Twitter, but these are the top tweets. I am returning, I'm going to lower this task bar so you can see all of them. I am returning approximately 75 of these tweets. You can return up to 2,000, and it just scrolls until you get to the end. So again, you can determine that based upon leveraging things that you would like in the starter kit. Another neat thing that we've included in the Twitter starter kit is that what if I want to look up a user's followers? So I put my name in here, and I want to look up my followers, who's following me. So I will click Twitter user followers, and these are all the people that are following me on Twitter. And so right now I'm returning back approximately 20 or so. You can return back as many as you would like. And again, these are people that are following me. So that's the gist of the Twitter API. You have the trends that I talked about here. So right now the things that are trending is Nicki Minaj as of July 10th at 11 o'clock or so. Lines that must be shouted. And so you'll see that it's returning back the actual things that are trending, either things that are trending by hashtag or things that are trending by topic. So you'll see the difference of hash on one side and topics that are trending on the right. And that will tell you whether or not this trend is something that is worldwide, which is the default that I'm returning back. You absolutely, and this is something that you could do to just enhance the starter kit because it's designed to be a starter for you, is actually have an option where when they put a location in from the search button, that it actually gets trends where that location is. So right now I'm returning to you worldwide. The key is you can return trends by any location. So that would be a neat addition to change this into. And like I said, if I, for instance, do not put anything into this box as far as user followers, if I do not put anything in that box for the user followers, then it is going to return to me the authenticated user's followers. And as you see, that was a sample authenticated user, a Windows 8 Tweet API. And so I only have one follower that is kind of planned. But if I, again, wanted to show the followers based upon who I really am, you saw how I would do that. And that is the gist of the Twitter API. It gives you the OAuth authentication. It leverages the authorization tool that Twitter allows for you to make sure that this user can be authenticated. It does not save your password, so that's good. It is following the strict OAuth, so those calls that you see in the code can be leveraged across different projects. It is using a commanding model, so that's something to note that's a little different. And with using a commanding model and that command relay class, that means then I don't have to put any code in my code behind. So this is not an event-driven UI. It is actually one that is truly driven by the view model and the commands that are bound to each button. With that, that concludes our discussion on Dev Radio about the Twitter API. I want to leave you with some great resources about API Mesh and the Twitter API that you can check out on your own. First, there is the API Mesh source code, which is fully downloadable and available to you on GitHub at the link you see below, as well as the article on API Mesh and all of the other starter kits that you can leverage on Channel 9. And finally, you can check out my blog. I talk about things like the API Mesh, Windows 8 cross-platform gaming development, as well as Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 development. With that, it's been a pleasure. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Dev Radio, and check you next time.